This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It is Brock and Salk in the final hour here. A little unique situation. I got a blank empty chair to my right. Salk's out the door. Got to get Avery and Cecily off to school. And then, as you just heard him say, he's heading back east to celebrate the wonderful life of an uncle of his that played a huge impact on his life. So Danny will actually sit in tomorrow, Danny O'Neill. And then Salker, you will be in Boston on Wednesday. I love the fact that he just simply would not miss today. There was no way after this weekend with the Mariners that Salk was going to find himself unavailable on a Monday to talk about this team and all the fun. I think the goodwill that they provided and just the selflessness. So many of the components that we all, I think, have grown to love about any team, really, in any sport. But to see the Mariners doing what they're doing right now, sitting 15 games above 500, finding themselves in first place, and the flags there blowing in Safeco Field, and to have their flag sitting ahead of the Houston Astros. And certainly nobody saw this coming, and even some national voices yesterday. David Schoenfeld and others tweeting out about, hey, if you would have told me that Robbie would be out and Nelly would be struggling with some injuries and on and off the disabled list a little bit, and Felix, you know, would have a hard time getting it going, and yet these Mariners would be in first place in June for the first time since 2003. Well, I don't think any of us would have bought that, but that's where they find themselves. And as much fun as we've had, I know this being in the business, when your team is winning, there's nothing better to call a game and to be a part of it. And that's exactly what Aaron Goldsmith finds himself in. A winning Mariners team, unlike anything, Aaron, that you've had yet in your 3 or 4 years in Seattle. What's it like to be in that seat night in and night out?
Oh, come on, Brock. You didn't see this coming? Are you serious?
No, it's been actually no.
It's been remarkable. It's been absolutely incredible. And anytime this team is within striking distance, or certainly if they're ahead by even a run, and you get to the sixth or seventh inning, you just kind of have that feeling, as they certainly do in the dugout, that they're going to win that game. It's been an absolute joy to be a part of and to see every single day unfold, because it's been a pretty similar script now for the better part of well over a month, if not 2 months, and it's been an absolute joy to be able to watch from up in the booth.
Well, Goldie, give me something that we don't see from the TV. I want to get you your favorite moment over the weekend and a bunch of calls and folks still on the phones to answer that question. But before I do, give me something. Tell me something from behind the scenes, story, if you got an anecdote, plane ride, bus ride, something on the field before the game, something that I have not seen with my own eyes through a television broadcast that to you just really encapsulates this ball club and where they're at.
Well, I think more than anything, this is a team that no matter what is happening, whether they have won five in a row, lost five in a row, there's no way to be able to tell by how they act each day, because they act the same way no matter what is happening. And I think that is, I mean, you can speak to this, Brock, probably much better than I can. I mean, that is the sign of a team that is really well prepared and has a great belief and confidence in itself, and really just kind of has that feeling that if it doesn't work out today, it will work out tomorrow. And that's been really one of the great separators, I think, between this team and maybe some teams of Mariners past that have struggled more than this one has, is that this is a group of guys, and I'm always kind of fascinated with this from a general manager's perspective, when you put together a 25-man roster, how you're kind of doing this online dating thing where you're putting these 25 guys together and you're hoping that it's going to work out together and work out well for the course of 6.5 months or 7 months in a season. And you don't totally know, especially with the turnover that the Mariners have had in recent seasons and all the moves by Jerry, and they've kind of calmed down in some ways going into this season. But this is a team that really the cohesion that this 25-man roster has been remarkable. And I think because of that, it's been so steady no matter what's happening. And I mean, it's easy to forget now, but there was a time earlier in the season where things weren't going as well for the Mariners, and the team really responded and acted on a day in and day out basis during the times where no one else is in the ballpark. They really acted basically the same thing, the same way that they are doing now when they're coming off an 8-2 homestand. And it's been remarkable to be able to witness.
Yeah, and Aaron Goldsmith with us. And yet, Aaron, I think if you were to listen to so many of our Mariner fans here that call into the show or text or tweet us, they would say, I get all of that. Maybe that's how they are in the clubhouse and off the field, yet I'm feeling and seeing more emotion on it. I am seeing guys in a dugout willing to express themselves. And it's not just the thumbs up. They've had hand signals for years. But you can just feel the emotion that he plays with and the energy that Ryan Healy brings. And yesterday, Felix once again on full display. So kind of a fine line between being rock steady all the time. And yet, you know, I think Scott wants his guys to express it on the field. And it sure feels like they're doing more of that in 2018.
Well, just like this is a team that kind of profiles as one that doesn't take a lot of walks and doesn't strike out a ton and is very aggressive at the plate. It's a team that certainly also profiles as one that does show a lot of emotion. I mean, Ryan Healy is the frat brother that you always wish you had, right? I mean, he seems like the greatest guy, has so much fun on the field, is such a joy to talk to, and just he seems like a college bro that you're going to run into every day when you go to class. I mean, it's just that kind of enthusiasm and that much fun. Of course, D. Gordon speaks for himself, and we have noticed that from day one. In fact, last night I was at dinner with my wife, and we were talking about the game. I stayed back. The team traveled after the game, and I stayed back to get a night at home, and I'll be flying to Houston later today. And Heather says, you know who I really like? I said, where are you going with this? She says, I really like D. Gordon. I think there are a lot of Mariners fans who are saying the exact same thing because he's everything you want, right? He's the total package on the field, and he's brings all the joy and all the emotion, and he's the camera's best friend as well. So this is a team that is so much fun to watch, and because of those two guys that I've mentioned and many, many others, it's been a blast, and the fact that they're winning on a regular basis makes it even better.
How unique was Friday night in baseball, Aaron? How unique to see a guy that went 0-for-6 on a night that Haniger delivers late in extra innings to hit in the cage and then to say, no, I'm going to take the tee out here, and I don't have a bunch of guys shagging it. I don't have Rizzer and, you know, with his elbow, or Simsy with his Achilles, or, you know, anything else. I don't have anybody else shagging balls. I'll do it myself. How unique was that statement Friday night into the early hours of as D gets his extra work in?
You know, we talked to Blowers about this, and he said that this is something that certainly does happen. That does not mean that it happens on a regular basis. I mean, after all, I don't think I've ever seen that happen with a Mariners player. Now, that being said, I'm not at the ballpark at 12:30 in the morning. But if anybody is there, it will be documented, as we saw with D. But I just think, as we all kind of have gotten to know D over the course since spring training and even before that, I mean, this is a guy who just his home is the field. And that's just where he wants to be all the time. You could tell, even on that first pop-up in the first inning of his first game back that was over by Ryan Healy at first base, I mean, D basically climbed his back to make the catch. He had to catch a pop fly. And so this is a guy who really was itching to come back, was disappointed in his performance that particular night. And, I mean, it's either that or drive the Lamborghini back home and go to sleep, and I guess that could wait another hour or so. Gary Hill, by the way, did offer, as he finished up the postgame show after 12 in the morning, 12:30 in the morning, as he was walking to his car, he did walk through the tunnel, go onto the field as the sprinklers were going off, and he did offer to go shag some fly balls for D, and D respectfully said, I got it taken care of myself. But yeah. I thought that was very nice of
him. Yeah, he'd probably be the one on the broadcast team I would pick. Hey, tell me about this call, if you wouldn't mind. I thought this was a pretty good call come Friday night as you delivered this sucker. Oh, hold on. Momentarily.
The 2-2.
Sounds like
swing,
my best call.
Line drive. This game is over! Home run, Porch. Punch your ticket, Mike Zunino, for the second straight year. A walked-off bomb against the Twins, and they are ready to pounce on him at home plate.
Well, maybe that wasn't Friday night. Maybe that was the previous Saturday night. We had a fun little mashup of you and Rizzer. But that is, so far, our favorite call of the year. Where did that thing come from?
You know, when I got home, speaking of 12:30 in the morning, right, that was a late one. When I got home and Heather was still awake, and I walked in the house and I found her in the living room, before she even said hello or anything, she just simply said, "You sounded like you were being hunted by a spear." So I thought that was, you know, that's quite the visual. But that was, it's funny because we were talking about this after Haniger's home run, where as a play-by-play guy in extra innings, especially late in extra innings, like both of those were, more than just a 10th or even just the 11th at times, I mean, you kind of, it becomes a lull, right? Especially when there's not a lot of activity going on, and maybe it's one, two, three innings, or maybe even just four batters in an inning, and ballpark is beginning to empty out because people got to get home and they have to wake up early. And then that's just kind of the beauty of this game. With one pitch in a split second, it's all over. Mm. A titanic blast, as we saw from Mike in that particular case, or Haniger the opposite way, not sooner thereafter. It just kind of, if you were getting in a little bit of a rocking chair, it'll jump you up pretty quickly. That was a really fun moment at Safeco Field this year.
I'm kind of liking these Heather stories, by the way, Goldie. Yeah, I'm kind of liking hearing about the wife who's up at midnight after a game to come home and evaluate some of your calls and stuff, and go to a little dinner and talk D.
Yeah, we've got the whiteboard of the house. He breaks it all down. There's a lot more on the negative side than the positive side of the performance. But, you know, that's why we all thrive on constructive criticism, Brock.
True.
You know, as a player, you're the same way. Film session, very important.
True.
So we all thrive on it.
Yeah, but then when you got teenagers and three kids and you're running everywhere, Molly's not listening or watching anything anymore. She's kind of done and trying to pick up all the pieces as I'm out and about. Hey, by the way, here was the call. If you and Riz were kind of, I don't know, molded together off of Haniger's dinger Friday.
Here's the stretch and the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right center field. Smith to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, base. This game is over!
What do you think?
I think that's the very appropriate tag. I mean, we all, if you ever wanted to know what it's like to be hunted as a human being, now you know. At least you can... Like we've all been there before.
That's,
you know, but fine editing work there by the guys.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, last thing here, Aaron, we'll let you go and have a great trip down to Houston. Hopefully the Mariners keep this thing going out on the road. Before we take and get some of these phone calls, did you have a favorite moment? Anything that stood out maybe over the entire homestand, an 8-2 homestand, certainly a sweep here over the Rays over the last 3 days. Was there a moment or two that really stood out to you in this stretch?
Well, other than a couple of walk-off home runs, which were obviously terrific, but man, how great was it to see Felix do what he did yesterday? I mean, that's as vintage as it comes. And I made the comment after the game was over with that it really felt like when you watch Felix and you watch Snell, you were really watching on one side the young Felix when he was just a pup and coming up to really the best form of modern day Felix that you hope for, right? We saw the absolutely nasty stuff, the most filthy breaking ball that you might see all season long, punching everybody out, right? That's Felix from however many years ago when he was doing the exact same thing. To, hey, we saw this is the poster version of the new Felix, Felix 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever it might be, where he can go, my goodness, 8 innings with a very reasonable pitch count and have a 10-pitch inning, an 8-pitch inning, and have it early to have it set up for more length, more distance in the game in the back half. I mean, that was as cool as it gets, man. I mean, we are so fortunate to be able to see him over the course of his absolute dominant prime, and to be able to watch what he did yesterday was awfully fun, man. What a great way to cap an 8-2 homestand. Yeah. We're excited to get back home. Obviously, the Angels, the Red Sox come to town once the Mariners return. So this will be a fun month of June for the Mariners.
It sure will, Aaron. Well, thank you for taking the time, and tell Heather she is all over it. Totally agree with her. I hadn't thought of it as a human trying to run away from a spear, but I like some of that energy. I like that visual. I'm down with that. And we can't wait to do this again. Keep it rolling.
All righty. Thank you, Brock. All the best, bud.
Thank you, Aaron. And you can hear Aaron, by the way. I should have mentioned this maybe in the lead-in. His podcast with Jerry DePoto is fantastic. For those that, like our caller in the last hour that said he's got both a lizard brain and a nuanced baseball brain, I think that he and Jerry, the Wheelhouse, that's called, he does that podcast with Jerry DePoto. I think they weave between those things very, very well. From some of the fun, just simple baseball stuff to the deepest of nuance. You got to catch that. It's Aaron Goldsmith with Mariners general manager Jerry DePoto. And we posed this question to begin the show, and some of you still have hung on for some time. What was your favorite moment over the weekend? Which spot just, you know, this team continues to do it. Last weekend it was a sweep of the Twins. This weekend it was a sweep of the Rays. It's doing all of the little things you've got to do. Yes, Howdy, as you pull your mic.
No, I just personally really liked Edwin Diaz coming in the other night and throwing nothing but fastballs after blowing the game before. Just, you know what? I'm not messing around here. I'm just going to pipe them, and you're going to just have to catch up to it. I love that.
Yeah, and Friday night you get a little concern, right? You get a little bit of a lead. It's 2-1, and you want to finish that sucker off, and then he just walks that first guy. You know, much like we saw yesterday when Healy drew the walk there in the eighth inning to set the whole thing in motion, that leadoff walk. you're a little worried, and then he just dug deep, and he found himself the ability to limit the damage, to get that game to extra innings, and to come back-to-back nights and deliver. You're right, that's not on one of the seven or eight things that we mentioned earlier today, but that just speaks to, I think, his evolution, his maturation, his growth. 206-421-3776, a few phone lines are open to you. Is it the button on the right, Kyle, that I've got to hit the top?
Oh, you know, you just call the name and it'll appear.
Oh, it will.
Just like it's magic.
Oh, you're going to take care of me that way. Okay. All right. Well, let's go to Patty. Let's hit Patty up. And don't look at me because I got to look a little closer at the screen because I don't have my glasses on, Howdy. That's not nice.
Squeeze.
Jeez. That's a mean sign you just sent to me for crying out loud. I'm not going to put my Ebenezers on. I can read just fine. It's Patty and Shoreline.
I'm giving you a thumbs up, Rob.
Thank
All right, squints.
Favorite moment of the weekend, Patty?
Hi there. Actually, the game on Sunday and how Blake Snell's crosstown rival from Shorecrest High School hoped to win that game.
Shorewood versus Shorecrest.
There's some real ironies to yesterday's game. As you know, Blake went seven straight batters, shutting down the Mariners, who was the eighth batter and put a stop to that run. Well, as you know, that was Denard's band.
Sure enough.
But how did they get Denard's band to the Mariners?
Tell me, Patty.
Took him from Tampa Bay.
Darn right.
So there's a bit of irony there. But the real irony is a young intern on the Mariners team who's been there for less than a year, a young man by the name of Skylar Shimiamba.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually played against Blake Snell.
Get out of here, Patty. Get out of here. Are you serious?
Serious. In fact, Skylar actually got a couple of hits off of Blake in high school.
Wow. Wow.
Skylar ends up being an intern analyst for the Mariners, helped get that trade of Denard's fan, who ended Blake's run yesterday of shutting down Mariners.
Patty, I'll tell you what, Patty Kicks, I am putting you and others receiving votes. Yep, you're on the big board right now. I don't know if you even know what that is. The top five, big board, Patty breaking it down. If you followed all of that, she's absolutely right. The young intern, the phenom, the numbers geek. Actually, Dory Monson was telling me a story about Skylar, who was just a brilliant kid in high school and actually a coach, an assistant basketball coach and everything else afterwards, and just a number cruncher. And he was the guy, one of the people behind the scenes that Jerry trusts to make that trade and bring Denard Span and Alex Colomay into town.
Dropping ironic a lot.
Was it ironic? If Danny was listening, he's scrunching his nose like, I don't know if that's irony or not. Coincidence?
Yeah, just a coincidence. Who knows?
But I like it, Patty. I'm with you. Yes, and to see them, you had to waste that kid, man, because he was filthy. And to see, to me, it was a little personal. To see Blake Snell's family, I had an opportunity way back when I was with the Colts one time to come back to Seattle and play. And it was the opening of CenturyLink Field, it's Quest Field at that time, or Seahawks Stadium. I don't think they had a sponsor. And it was the very first preseason game. And I had mom and dad, Uncle Paul, and all the rest of the family there, and brother and friends. And to find a little bit of success that we found that day, and for Blake to be as good as he's ever been. I mean, he didn't quite tie his strikeout record of 13, only because he pitched six innings and ran his pitch count up to 100. But for the local guy, who
grew up a Mariners fan, who has a Labrador retriever named Junior because of how much he loves this team.
Did you see his, speaking of baseball nuance, did you see his little, not nervous tick, but his little movement that he had different than any baseball player I've ever seen? Did you see how he took his hands to his hat and he was constantly readjusting his hat? Great head of hair, by the way, but a hat just had to be just right before every single batter. And, man, he was just right yesterday.
It was working for him.
Did you see that, too?
Absolutely.
Kyle, you notice those little things like I do. 206-421-3776. Look at this. I can read this from afar. This is Mike, by the way, Howdy. This is Mike up in Edmonds. Mike, your favorite moment of the weekend?
Hey, good morning, Brock.
Good morning, Mike.
I have a surprising and a favorite moment. I was really surprised at Felix's job. One of my biggest fears was that we wouldn't see that again this year, and for him to do that, I was just shocked. So that's my surprise. But my favorite moment is anything to do with D. Gordon. To me, he's the MVP of the team. I have to watch every at bat that he gets. Even when he goes 0-for-6, he's entertaining. And I think he might be the person most responsible for the attitude in the clubhouse. Mm. So I kind of look at him as the shining example of why the Mariners should get off the schneid and re-sign or extend DePoto in service.
Yeah, it's been, just about everything that every button they've pushed, right? Every decision they've made has been a pretty positive one in that regard. There's no question about it. And be it the trades, be it the moves, be it the recent acquisitions, everybody is stepping in the fold. I am curious, who has been, over the last 20-some years, who's been the D. Gordon of the Mariners? You can text it in 710-710. Has there been a comp to D. Gordon of the last 20-some years? You know, you've been searching for a leadoff guy since Ichiro. Is there somebody that just whose game, who's just infectious attitude? Obviously leading Major League Baseball in steals, so the speed and the energy and just the juice that when he comes into a room, when he comes into the clubhouse, when he goes on to the field, it just changes the temperature. Can you think of a Mariner over the last... I see your face scrambling there, Lydia.
The most personality, which doesn't even come close to D. Gordon, because I think he is in a stratosphere by himself, but is Tom Wilhelmsen. When I think of just the person who goes out there and is willing to be energy and show personality and be silly and kind of bring a levity and yet still compete and put up decent numbers. But D. Gordon is, I would say, no. There's nothing like him.
Yeah, that does it on the field and in the clubhouse.
Exactly.
Like, clubhouse, dugout guy, I go like Mooney Kawasaki. Loved watching that guy.
Sure.
He was always having a blast. Seemed like his teammates really liked him, but obviously not even a remote comparison on the field.
Not a gold glover, not a leading base stealer, not a guy that gets it done, hitting over 300, really setting the table for everybody else. Think about that. If you've got a good comp over the last 20-some years of the D. Gordon of the past, text that into 710-710. A number of you still on the phone lines. Ryan Roland Smith, I'll pay this off, Mike. You loved that outing from Felix. How did he get it done? We'll hear from a pitcher's perspective. The Aussie is going to join us next. He's got a lot of thoughts and a lot of details on just what Felix did to get it done yesterday. He'll join us. Your calls, answer the question, and we'll wrap this unbelievable Monday up. Sprocket Talk, 710 ESPN Seattle. You sit down.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
The former, not quite the latter, Salky on his way. Avery Cecily, if you're listening right now, still in the car and truant from school, you did an amazing job sitting back there with Boy Howdy in the Fort Room watching Frozen and everything else. So thank you for your patience and fortitude today. Howdy, job well done. I don't know how Avery cut her finger,
thank you.
But job well done on that front.
I like hanging out with the kids. I think that's a fun deal.
Yeah, you do an excellent job with
that. They understand me, I think.
Yeah, probably more than anybody else does. I don't think there's any question about that. And good times just keep on rolling for these Mariners. What a weekend. And to see Felix, you know, Friday, I'll pull the curtain back just a little bit. I said to during one of our breaks when Salk and I were down at the VMAC chatting with Chris Carson during one of our breaks, I said, okay, what would be best case for our show Monday? Like, totally just from a show perspective, what would be best case to set this up on Monday to have the most juice and the most energy? Would it be a sweep? Would it be winning Friday and Saturday and Felix just struggling and everything else? Or would it be Felix just spinning eight beautiful innings as he got it done? I think there was consensus. We all wanted to see Felix get right, and that's exactly what he did. And I'm curious, from Ryan Roland Smith's perspective, who's going to join the show now. Thanks, Ryan, for taking a few minutes with us. I'm curious, from your perspective, what stood out the most to you yesterday with what Felix got done over eight innings?
Yeah, I think the focus pitch to pitch. I know that sounds pretty generic, but when you look at the outings before with Felix, especially the one prior to that, now I tuned in, you guys had callers the next morning. There's a lot of sad phone calls going on, that's for sure. I'm not going to lie. I was like, man, I was driving my in-laws to the airport, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I get it, too. I get it, because I was watching Felix. I played with him, and I watch him pretty intently. And the whole thing with him this offseason, spring training, was talking about changing his approach, making adjustments. And, you know, Brock, you know this, as an athlete, as whatever you do, even if you're having success, you have to make those adjustments no matter what. But the problem I found with this front office coaching staff were taking away what makes Felix so good. And then having a couple conversations with Mel over the homestand, I think they found some middle ground with Felix, with the conversations and the approach. They talked about him using his curveball and changeup more often. And what message does that send to Felix? That says, look, your stuff is not the same as what it was when you were Felix Hernandez, when you were the king, basically taking that away from him. I think the conversations have had more often he's talking about attacking, but utilizing these pitches in different counts. So, you know, just changing, you know, obviously, the verbiage of this a little bit. And with Felix, when I watched him yesterday, first of all, he started the game off with a changeup. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, here we go. I want him still to be aggressive with that fastball. His fastball still has life on it. Doesn't have the velocity, has the movement. I'd love to see him, you know, everything off that fastball. Basically, set up that fastball, change up, curveball, off that pitch, 0-2, and more opportunities for him to throw those pitches. But what I noticed yesterday was just the complete focus on next pitch. Felix, the last couple of outings, when you watch them, the thoughts would get in his head, that doubt would start to seep in, and all of a sudden the tempo changes. He's starting to walk around the mound. He's looking up into, you know, left center, into the upper decks at the left center, and that doubt comes in, that disappointment. He's letting everyone down. Yesterday, right back on it, and he threw that changeup where he's 2-0. It didn't matter what the count was. He was in some serious jams, and boom, right back at it. And I think the conversations have changed a little bit with Mel. They've you know, maybe bonded a little bit, found something. Talking about watching videos of 2013, 2014. I love that. And I think that there's that good combination now where he can change his approach a little bit, but still be aggressive and still be what makes him so good.
You know, it's interesting, Ryan. I hadn't thought about it until you kind of laid it out in that perspective. And tell me if I'm hearing you right here. I may not be. I may be going down my own little path here. But I hear you say, or I'm reading into this, that Felix, you can still attack and you can still be aggressive. You just have to do it with spin. That sometimes those secondary pitches maybe feel finesse. And, you know, I'm a flamethrower and I'm aggressive and I can still strike you out with my fastball like we saw Mr. Snell do on the other side. But this is almost a mindset shift of, listen, you can still be aggressive and you can still attack, but it may have to be with the changeup and curveball.
Absolutely. Because, you know, and, you know, when I spoke to Mel privately, you know, a month ago, it was more of, hey, look, he hasn't got the same stuff. He has to make this and make that adjustment and everything else. Well, if that same message is getting translated to a guy like Felix Hernandez, who he thrives off, you know, being the head of this pack, being that alpha, right, in this rotation of this pitching staff, being that guy. That message to him basically says, hey, man, everything that made you great is not working anymore. Could you imagine hearing that? It's like, you know, it wouldn't matter what job you're doing in life. If you were killing it for 10 years and all of a sudden they're like, hey, you have to start doing this or you're done.
Yeah, it's like Howdy. I mean, you know, boy, Howdy on this show. If you take away his jingles and his music, or you take away Lydia's just outright joy or Kyle's cynicism, like, what do they have left?
They're done.
You know what
they've
I'm saying?
Got nothing.
But
yeah, they got.
They got to do it. Just a,
come on.
They got to just
do nothing. No talent. No smarts.
They got to just do it a different way, Ryan. They got to find a new way to do it.
Exactly. Well, you know, and Felix, that's that. You know, obviously that extreme approach with him, and I think yesterday we found that just that good combination where he can attack with those pitches, and not so much too when you think of that too, curveball, changeup. Okay, I have to throw non-contact pitches. I have to throw, pitching away from hard contact, then you're screwed. Any pitcher, it doesn't matter if you throw 85 or 95, you're screwed. And I think yesterday there was that shift. There was that attack mode, like you said, Brock, and that confidence and saying, you know what, this pitch is nasty. I'm going to attack with this pitch in any count, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, everybody loves attack. I don't think there's any doubt, and you're right. Felix's whole mindset has been that through his career, and I love the emotion yesterday, too. Ryan Rowland-Smith with us. Hey, last question here. Shannon was really, really on it yesterday. Shannon Dreher, and you guys do a great job. I love listening when you two are paired, in particular in the post-game show. But she was talking about the bullpen routine was different, that there was a script, that they were going to have a dress rehearsal to actually walk through that first inning script. Is that outside the norm a little bit, Ryan, for Felix or for other guys in particular?
You mean, are you referring to Felix warming up for the game?
Yeah, that she said there was a very clear, almost like scripting plays in football with your first 15, that this is what you're going to do in the first inning. You're going to only two fastballs of that entire script to get that mindset that this is going to be spin first.
Yeah, you know, Jamie Moyer, back when I was in the minor leagues, used to talk to us about, you know, warm-up routines. And, you know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning at the Peoria Sports Complex half the time. So everyone was, you know, half asleep or saying, yeah, yeah, whatever. But I did take a few things from those talks. First of all, one, he threw his entire bullpen session before a game out of the stretch. Because they're your money pitchers, right? They're the ones, when there's runners on base, the best in the world make the big pitches with runners on base. And he also said, too, challenge yourself in your bullpen session, meaning have your catcher throw signs down and make him do it. You know, catchers like to just sit back and catch balls, whatever, and then roll into the dugout. I used to make, you know, the last 15, 20 pitches, whether I was doing good things in the first, second, or whatever inning, or, you know, whether I was sucking it up or doing really well, I used to have the catcher, you know, throw the signs down, just like, you know, basically a dress rehearsal for you're about to go in. And I used to challenge myself. If it was a 2-0 pitch and there was that pitch I was uncomfortable throwing, usually, you know, my comfort pitcher was that breaking ball down and away, well, I'd throw that fastball in and challenge myself and challenge myself in tough counts, because you know that there's going to be situations in the game, first, second, third, where you're going to have to do that. Okay. There's a situation with Felix yesterday with Carlos Gomez, who owns him, by the way. He's sitting about 450 off him. And he made some uncomfortable pitches that he had to make, and that's that dress rehearsal before the game going into that you have to challenge yourself a little bit in the bullpen, get that heart rate up, get that mindset going so you can hit the ground running. And I'm guessing Felix did that again yesterday. Because he looked good straight out of the gates.
No, that's awesome, man. Good stuff. You having any fun doing this? Is this a little more fun when the team's rolling and winning the way they are?
A lot easier. I tell you what, we did that post-game, Brad Adam and I down in the bullpen. It's a lot easier in that little section there when they're winning, that's for sure.
Hey, speaking of attack, when I think attack, and I only think Felix's fastball, for some reason, Ryan, I just can't get this image out of my head right
they
here.
Came bounding over.
Okay, first of all, is that on cue, or do you guys have to wait the whole? I've been rattling off a bunch of gibberish for 20 minutes. It took you that long to bring it out. I was hoping for that the first 30 seconds. Where was it?
Just made it into the front door.
There he is.
Oh, that was one of our favorite moments, man. That was great. Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Man, always awesome. Ryan Roland Smith. You hear him with the afternoon guys every single week and all over the Mariners broadcast in a year that's been a blast. Keep it rolling, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Anytime.
There he is, Ryan Roland Smith. He thought you were going to throw that in right away, Big Kyle, when he was getting that thing going. Did you have any inkling to do so, or are you just too nice?
No, I mean, he's aware. Every time it's like, oh, but he's Australian. Don't forget to play the Australian guy.
And for those wondering, Ryan filled in. That was all 3 hours, right? That was the day that he filled in for all 3 hours, and he did an awesome job. And I don't know, it was a late tub time YouTube and something that I found that crazy.
Now, yesterday morning, I came out into the front yard, and the dogs were across the boat. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over. And I just made it into the front door.
As funny as that sound is, the video's even better. Oh, it's really good. Oh, that flew by. Ryan, thank you. Goldie, thank you for filling in. Salk, as he mentioned, as he left the show today on his way back to Boston to tend to an uncle that was a very dear, special guy in his heart and in his family, and we wish him the best. Danny will be in tomorrow, and this is it. Final segment of the day. We answer your questions. It's just me and the crew. Who, if you took Lydia's joy away and Howdy's jingles away and Kyle's cynicism away, we'd have nothing. I mean, Ryan just made that very, very clear. So we need all the help in the world. 710-710. Text your questions in as a group. We will find a way to answer them. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Good every day to wrap up this show. 710-710. If you're on the fence, you think you got a great question, you could still fire it away. We got plenty of room for you. Salky's out. Just me, Lydia, Kyle, Howdy, Fresh, all in the house. What you got, Howdy?
Jerks, would you rather go on a whitewater adventure or skydiving?
That's a good question.
I've done the whitewater one. That's really fun.
I have too. Now, you know, sitting to your right is one of the most esteemed whitewater rafters in really the country. He's done.
Love whitewater rafting much.
I thought you said without his cynicism, he would be nothing. So are you saying that he's got other skills?
No, I'm saying he is. That's fair.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I didn't say that. Ryan said
we're coming to a point of progress.
It was Ryan. Yeah, it was Ryan.
That was Ryan's point, not mine.
All right.
Skydiving. I don't think I could do skydiving.
I'd really like to try skydiving.
Would you?
I would really like to try
it. I've done both, and I will say that skydiving, I think it's a good experience to do once. I don't really have an inclination. Like, I would want to do this repetitively.
We did zip lining in El Salvador on our final day there, which was an absolute blast. There were a couple passes that were long and, you know, probably hundreds of feet or more up in the air over the canyons and such. That was all right. I'd probably stick to the water. I feel like I'd probably go whitewater rafting. Kyle, are you good? You good whitewater?
Oh, yeah, I'm one of the best. I've been
up front?
Yeah, my former raft guide, Teague, over there in Leavenworth said that I was one of the most amazing. You know?
Really?
Well, I got the long arms, good stroke.
Oh, yeah, wingspan.
You know? Yeah, I got a lot of good attributes.
Good for you.
For rafting, not good for much else.
Next question.
Jerks, is John Clayton the original Johnny Football?
Yeah, sure.
Not Johnny Unitas?
Yeah, sure. I'm in a very agreeable stage, yeah.
Jerks, which is better, Lincoln Logs or a sandbox with Tonka trucks?
I like the Lincoln Logs. Yeah, Hoppy Nopa had some of those. They had these other little cardboard blocks, and I found myself gravitating much more to that than the dirty, muddy, wet sand that you usually find in the Pacific Northwest. So, yeah, I'm a clean, linear, like the building, the analyze into those Lincoln Logs.
Any sort of engineering, anything where you can build, I'm in.
Hey, by the way, today's the Major League Baseball draft, huh?
Heck yeah, it is.
Like, today is the day of
Woo!
It?
Yes, coverage begins at 3 p.m., but the actual draft begins at 4 p.m., so let's get excited.
How weird is that? Like, the NBA draft, they have a presentation of the ping pong balls. Like, it's the biggest deal ever. The NFL draft, obviously, they stretch 3 days. They do it all over the country. I think even the NHL draft, I feel like, gets more buzz and build up. This is like, so quiet.
Major League Baseball, you cannot trade draft picks, so you're always stuck there. No one's really ever, like, none of the fan base has ever seen high school players play. Very few have seen college players play. It's a tough deal.
You think there's any way to grow that?
I think so. If you made draft picks tradable and you made it a big deal when a team acquired a pick, people would pay more attention to them in the first place.
Yes, and I don't know if you're going to broadcast high school baseball. But you know what? We've seen, starting with LeBron James, you see more and more high school basketball all over the airwaves. You certainly see high school football all over the airwaves.
Give me an analyst who also believes that players can become professionals, unlike every other major baseball analyst who believes that every prospect is like a terrible player.
Right.
And really will probably never make the league. Like, get the Keith Laws out of there and give me some Mel Kuypers and John Grudens to say, this guy's a star. He's the next Daryl Strawberry.
So what are the Mariners going to do today, Lydia? You're the one who's read up on all of this. You got all the baseball prospectus and Baseball America and everything. What do you got a feel and a sense for what the Mariners? Where do the Mariners pick? It's got to be in
14th,
the,
I believe. Yeah. Outfield, maybe.
Is this a good draft?
Some of the stuff that I've read has said that there's really one guy, Casey Mize, at the top that people really love.
And then
there's a big kind of wide gap of talent. Like, some people are really high on that mid-level draft. Some people aren't. So there's like it's really open. There's really not a set order of how this is supposed to go this
time.
All
right. Interesting. Okay.
And a lot of people have been linking the Mariners to prep bats and prep pitchers, which is different than the past under Jerry Dipoto. They typically have spent their first pick on college guys
and then
paid them a little less money and spent more money in the second round on a high school guy that most people think would be harder to draft and sign. So this could be a departure.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, we'll stay tuned.
Okay. Next question.
Sort of.
Are you on another one?
Sure.
Today is National Cheese Day. What is the best place to put cheese on? Like, the best food?
Quesadilla.
That's pretty good. It's hard to have a quesadilla without cheese.
I kind of like the quesadilla. That is an easy one to make at home, too, by the way. It's Titus just eating, man. The kid's just eating. Getting in that stage right now where they're just eating. And a quesadilla is a pretty pretty easy way to go. Favorite cheese?
Yeah, grilled cheese.
No, favorite kind of cheese?
Grilled smoked Gouda.
Grilled smoked Gouda.
Yeah.
Pepper jack. Good, hot pepper jack. What do you guys think of that hour?
Strong.
Tell you what I thought of that day. Strong. Some of you still on the phone line. You guys are warriors out there. I love it. Love what this Mariners are doing. The only problem is they don't play today. We've got a Major League Baseball draft. We may talk about that tomorrow. We will talk a little football tomorrow. Danny O'Neill, I wonder where and how he feels in this great debate of who's got the most pressure and expectation on them next year. You can go vote in my poll still at Brock ESPN. I think Pete leading the way. Pete, Russ, Schneider, Schottenheimer, others. We'll dig into that with Danny. It'll be fun tomorrow. Oh, and the wet blanket's going to join us at 9. Jeff Passan, what's he got to say about the first place Mariners? We'll do all of that tomorrow, but for this day, the hay is in the barn.
Swing, line drive, this game is over!
Get to the chopper!